guarantee a grand time if you promises to stick around. Let's see what the crew is up to this very moment, shall we? If you'll just follow over here. Well, it looks like Murphy's holed himself up again. That boy's got one bad temper, I'll tell you. We'll just leave him alone. I haven't seen him as mad as he's been the past few days since he was scarred up by the tattoo artist in Port Almont. He asked for the official pirate insignia on his forearm, and the bleeding tattooer scribed instead a skull and crossbows. Murphy says, "What do you think I am, Robin Hood or something?" So the tattooer makes a deal with him, offers to fix it in exchange for the release of his face, which Murphy had placed firmly under one armpit. Murphy says, "Okay," and the guy screws it up again. Changes it from crossbows to crosscut saws, and has the gall to suggest lumberjacking to Murphy as a solution. Needless to say, Murphy tossed the separate body parts of the tattooer into, I believe it was, 6 different states. Don't know what he's upset about now, and if I want to find out. The vasty there, Fletcher, what you gonna do with that pony, my son? A mite bit of fun if you do it right. Fletcher is a good lad. The crust goes under my bunk, Fletch. Well, time runs short on the high seas. Tune in again next week, when I'll show you how to deal with a mass mutiny and how to tie a rig knot. Yo-ho-ho, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Wouldn't it make you feel simply terrific if you could rule Cuba? If the Soviet government owed you $800 million? If you had Iran just where you wanted them? If you own Bolivia? Impossible, you say? Not with this revolutionary new concept from Continental Courts Incorporated we call Sue a Country. All you have to do is inform us which foreign power you want, and Continental Courts Incorporated will act on your behalf and get you that country. It's that easy. You too could very soon boast of owning a little land in Europe, maybe Sweden, Czechoslovakia, or even possibly West Germany. So write today to Sue a Country, Box 10, Continental Courts Incorporated, Kansas City, Missouri, 0071. In less than 6 weeks, you can be your own king, tyrannist, dictator, or even congressman. So please, act now. Here's the address again. Sue a Country, Box 10, Continental Courts Incorporated, Kansas City, Missouri, 0071. Sin before midnight today.
Lord Baldwin's Super Sleuth.
As we tune in to the exciting conclusion of the mystery of the unpopped pimple, Lord Baldwin, Super Sleuth, has just entered the bedroom of millionaire recluse Howard Von Derringer to see before him the dead body of Von Derringer face down on the floor. Turning to the maid, the butler, Von Derringer's personal secretary, and Paco, the Mexican leper, we hear our hero say...
All right. Did one of you four people kill this man?
Yes, I did. I admit it.
Huh? Really?
What?
Oh.
What?
Well, officers, arrest him immediately.
Yes, another case solved dynamically by Lord Baldwin, Super Sleuth.
Faster than a silver bullet, more powerful than the William Tell Overture, able to leap Tonto in a single bound. Look, on that white horse, it's a cloud of dust, it's a hearty cry, it's the Lone Ranger. Return with us now to the thrilling days of yesteryear, to the exciting recreation of the Wild West, to the cramped recording and sound effects studio, to ride again with the Lone Ranger. But first, this radio news update.
Good evening, this is Radio News Update, and here are the headlines. The King family, a popular singing group of the 50s, was arrested this afternoon for possession of heroin. A 1,200-pound pig is elected governor in Oregon. Jekyll of the famed Magpie comedy team, Heckle and Jekyll, was found dead today on the floor of his cage. Shirley Temple Black was accidentally launched to the moon. And 19 new stars are added to the American flag for absolutely no reason at all. We'll have details at 5. I'm Chuck Montgomery. This has been Radio News Update.
And now, back to the Lone Ranger!
Sheriff, the Larson's girl's been taken by the Spamloaf gang.
Now, calm down, Tom. And that's not surprising, considering her reputation. I myself, on one or two occasions, have...
No, Sheriff. I mean kidnapped. They busted into the orphanage where she was teaching the kids about string and just took her away, their guns a-blazing.
Oh. Have you told old man Larson yet?
No, not yet. It'd break his heart, I know, Sheriff. And my neck. That codger's feistier than a wild coyote in an osterizer.
You said it. I'll tell him. Tom, you round up the rest of the men. We're going after the Spamloaf gang.
Now sit there and not a word out of you, understand?
You're not going to get away with this. My father'll take care of you.
Your father? He needs help relieving himself.
That's not true. He's a feisty old codger, just like the sheriff said in the last scene.
No. The deputy said it. The sheriff just agreed with him.
Shut up, all of you. We're not even supposed to have heard the last scene. Now listen, you, Oh, great, now I've lost my place. Where's my script?
Here, use mine.
Thanks. Your father, he needs help. These are your lines.
Oh, yeah.
You'll never get away with this. My father won't pay the ransom.
Thanks.
Cowpie! He will if he wants to see his doddering dolly. His darting dollar. His, dolling darter. His goddamn little girl alive again.
Anyway, it's not money we want.
Shut up, fool.
He won't give up his land.
And you too. Sit there, and not a word out of you, understand? Now, thug, get me my cigar.
Yeah, boss.
Hoodlum, take my boots off.
Sure, boss.
Ne'er-do-well. Rub my shoulders and nibble lightly on the nape of my neck.
Delighted, boss.
Yeah, I'm gonna be a big man in this town. 300, possibly 400 pounds if I can, and no one's going to stop me. Ha 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 ha!
You'll all be behind bars before sunup, you crooks!
Hey, don't never call us no crooks. Yeah, we're outlaws.
I've had enough out of that little girl. Show her we mean business. Thug, take away her walkman.
No!
So sit there, and not a word out of you, understand? Hoodlum.
Yeah, boss?
It's time to take our message to Larson. Now!
And you say, Tonto, your people ritually eat these buttons in worship to your gods? Kimosabe. But never as many as you have porked down just now. Well, you know, Tonto, I don't quite see why you believe these buttons to be apparition-causing hallucinogenics. Let me ask you. Yes, Kimosabe?
Why are your antennae glowing?
Me believe it time for you to smoke another peace pipe, Kimosabe. Bring you back a bit to this planet. But, Mr. Larson, these men are ruthless.
Well, my daughter's name is Gina, and I want her back safe and sound alive and in one piece.
Yes, well, would you settle for in one piece, sir?
No! I suggest, Sheriff, if you think you're going to have trouble with the Spamloaf gang, you might consider getting a little outside assistance.
What? You mean the Boy Scouts?
No! The Lone Ranger!
Hello, I'm Anus Digby, and we're here with our recording crew in a Fresno, California laundromat to ask Mrs. Joyce Spatula a question. Hi, Joyce Spatula.
Hello, Anus.
Joyce, would you be willing to let us give you a nice, crisp $50 bill for a pair of your underwear in order that we can demonstrate the amazing cleaning power of new Cosmo laundry detergent?
$50? Sure.
Okay, great. Dave? Well, while Dave removes the underwear from Mrs. Spatula, I'll tell you at home.
Wait,
the improvements made on New Cosmo, the only atomic laundry detergent in existence. Cosmo infiltrates the material fibers of your clothes, rearranging the molecular structure and removing ground and dirt and soiled stains on contact. Only Cosmo... Oh, I have the underwear now. Thanks, Dave. And now, Mrs. Spatula, here's your $50 bill.
I'm reporting you to the police, you monsters! I've never been so humiliated in my life!
And of course, Mrs. Spatula, seeing you without your underwear, you have every reason to feel that way.
I'll say, ooh, did the tuna boats just come through here?
Yeah, another in a series of great places to hang an opest strip.
She didn't even stay for the complimentary box of Cosmo. We'll use it again.
She didn't take the 50 either.
What?
She didn't take the 50 either.
Who gets her panties?
I guess I do. You got the nursing bra and the garter belts from the last one.
The Incredible Rush Gordon versus the Sponge People. Chapter 7, Enlightening but Equally Depressing News for Rush. As we last left Rush, he and Babs were being held prisoner on the planet Margarine, with their only chance for a rescue foiled by the evil Sponge People, who ambushed the two heroes, their guns ablazing. Placed in a small damp cell and told not to reproduce, they are forced to continually face southeast. Dejected, they begin to count the number of shoelace holes in their space boots.
I've 7, both sides. I win. But wait, Babs, do you hear snoring?
Oh, Rush, it's our guard. He's asleep.
Not doing his duty, eh? I'll wake him.
No, Rush. No, now's our chance.
To reproduce? Fantastic. I'll get the KY jelly.
No, you ninny, to escape.
Do you think we should? We were told to continually face southeast.
That was just a threat, Rush.
A thread? Are you needling me, Babs, or is there one dangling off my clothes somewhere? Don't pull on it. It makes the fabric bunch up.
Rush, you moron! Now's our chance. Let's go.
Right. Here's the plan. I'll jump out and take care of the guard, and you hightail it back to the ship and get Dr. Hot and Cold. Make him bring the intelligent thermos, and don't forget to tell him to wear pants. Let's go. Damn. The door's locked.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Rush Gordon!
To be continued. Well, it's pumpkin time once again here in California. Time once again to go and pick pumpkins and take them home and clean them out and place them on our heads and drive to Torrance. It's a joyous sight to behold and something we all take great pride in doing. And now, an immigrant.
I remember typical day on boats coming to Ellis Island back when I was a young man, and I bring my family over from Ichnakia. Captain would have us come to deck to get sunshine each day in shifts. There were so many of us. We would sing and pray to keep our morale up, play games, square dance, hold swap meets, Tupperware parties. Dinner would consist of salt herring, pickled salt patties, salt, and heavily salted salt pudding. It was always very good, but you got thirsty afterwards, so thirsty. Uncle Olaf would then tell his stories, and we would all retire for the night, some to expire from dysentery during their sleep, but most of us from scurvy and starvation later on. But I made it, and now I live in America, where I am citizen, and I get to be subjected to every kind of discrimination and prejudice there is, except when it's time to pay taxes. Thank you. It is, how you say, a very wonderful feeling. Good evening. Welcome to Controversy. Tonight we look at the traits, the culture, even the origin of some of Africa's most exciting pygmy-like creatures ever to inhabit a vast continent at one time. These repulsive little people and their equally repulsive neighbors were studied by Dr. William T. Bennett, a sociologist at the Institute of Strange Behavior, for nearly 23 years. Dr. Bennett actually lived among the tribes, and he's here tonight to talk about his research and his findings. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Bennett.
You're welcome.
Dr. Bennett,
Why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about the culture of these horrid little beasts?
Well, first off, I don't like to refer to the African pygmies as horrid little beasts.
Well, did I say that?
Yes, you did.
Well, I'm terribly sorry. It won't happen again. Now then, about the culture of these ghastly head-shrinking atrocities?
Well, there you just did it again. Now you're calling the pygmies, ghastly head-shrinking atrocities?
Yeah, right, Dr. Bennett, in all seriousness, I believe we really should return to the subject of the culture. Now then, let me see here. Am I correct in assuming that the pygmies eat mostly tree roots and missionaries that for fun they like to set small children on fire?
No, look, what are you doing? Definitely not, no.
Don't they wear large voodoo masks on their face to hide the grotesque features of their ridiculously small faces, and that they pierce their reproductive organs with sections of bamboo?
No, that's all myth, that's all nonsense. No, not at all.
Well, don't these terrifying little pipsqueaks also roam the city streets at night looking for 24-hour massage parlors that their main entertainment is shooting poison darts at innocent bystanders?
No, you've got it all wrong. I don't even know where you've come up from with this stuff. No, the pygmy tribes are nothing at all like that. They're peaceful, friendly people, they're very nice. They hunt for their food, they build their villages on the great river that runs through...
Ah, wow! I'm awfully sorry, Dr. Bennett, but I'm afraid we've run out of time. Sorry about that. Well, thank you for joining us tonight on Controversy, and we'll return next week at the same time, and maybe you can join us again then later. Thank you.
Nesbitt Croft, Royal Canadian Mountie.
As we last left our hero, a giant grizzly bear had a hold of Paco, the Mexican leper, and was about to bite off his head when suddenly Nesbitt entered the scene. Paco screams for help as we hear Nesbitt this week say,
"Excuse me, got change for a five?"
This has been the Dry Ice Radio Theater.